Brett Blair tells about a true story. When the Titanic sank and was beginning to list in the water, a woman was about to board a lifeboat. She asked the crewman, "Can you please wait? There's something from my room I need to get." He said, "We will hold this lifeboat for 3 minutes, 3 minutes only." She dashed back to her stateroom. She went through the casino where money had piled on the floor because of the listing of the boat. She made it to her stateroom. She swept aside her box of diamonds and her gold bracelets to reach three oranges she had placed on a cabinet. She took those three oranges and went in the lifeboat. It is amazing how when we face death, those things that the day before were of such great value to us, that on that day, when death is in our face, they do not become as valuable. Our houses, our cars, our boats, our diamonds, IRAs, are meaningless in the moment we face death. So what do we need to think about? What are our priorities? I often wonder, and I will include myself in this, how many of us have missed a Sunday because we wanted to be someplace else or to sleep in because we were tired? What if that Sunday was the very Sunday Jesus decided to walk into St. Paul's and we got a text, "You better get down here. Jesus is here." We would take our car, we would fly, we would park it on the sidewalk, and when we arrived, would we find the doors locked and a voice saying, "I do not know you." An allegory is just that. It's an allegory. This is what Jesus is doing. He's using an allegory to give us two words: be prepared. Reminds me of Boudreaux. He and Clarice were prepared to be married. Now, just before the wedding, Clarice had to know, why did this handsome, confirmed bachelor, the most eligible bachelor in the bayou, ask her to get married? She said, "Boo, I want you to done tell me the truth. You only marrying me because you done find out that my great aunt just left me $10 million, didn't you?" "Oh no, my sweet toot toot, I promise you, no, no, no. I would marry you no matter who left you that $10 million. Marriage is surrounded by fun stories. Marriage is surrounded by toasts and well-wishers and festivities. It wasn't any different in Jesus's time. It had customs. Jerome Sabatowicz, in his book Cycling Through the Gospel, says that in the time of Jesus' marriage, a young man a year before would go to his bride and say, "I go to prepare a place for you. Where I'm going, you cannot yet come, but I will come back for you. Be ready. I just don't know the time." And he would go, he would build a house, add a room on, and then the night would come. His groomsmen would go with him. They would carry lit torches. They would make merriment throughout the village. People would come out of their houses hearing the singing, and they knew a marriage was about to take place. And word would reach the bride. She would have her bridal clothes, and her bridesmaids knew to be prepared, so they had their clothes ready, their oil lamps were prepared. That's the allegory, the custom into which Jesus invites us in. The bride that is ready. The bridesmaids are ready, but five of them aren't fully ready. Now, some interpreters have said this is an allegory where the bridesmaids are those that go to the church. Those are the wise ones. They do good things in honor. The foolish ones are the ones that will go to church most of the time. They intend to do good works and do most of the time. Another interpreter says this is an allegory about being faithful. Those in the church have deep roots and will always be ready, and those that have shallow roots that will not be ready. And there is another allegory that it's simply about good works. In all of these allegories, Jesus gives us a single piece of a puzzle, and he says, now imagine the rest of the puzzle. Maybe there is something we need to see. Maybe the wise represent those in obedience, the unwise, those that do not pay attention. But no matter which way you go, no matter how that funnels down, all of these interpretations arrive at two words, all of them. Be ready. So what does it mean to be ready? That great Anglican priest, John Wesley, was asked what he would do if he knew his Lord would return the next day at that very time. You know what he said? I'd go to bed, I'd go to sleep, I'd wake up in the morning, I'd go to work, for I would want him to find me doing what he has appointed. Wow. What has God appointed for you and for me? Beloved, I've got news for you. All of us are born with an expiration date. Tomorrow is uncertain. So what is appointed? It's appointed that we pray. It's appointed that we respect the dignity of every human being. It's appointed that we give our time, our talent, our treasure to the church. It's appointed to worship God. It's appointed to be good people to our neighbors. And the unwise will prepare this way. Their appointment is thinking about praying, maybe tomorrow, intending to go to church unless something better comes along. Why give time, talent, and treasure? Because the church has enough money, and there's too many volunteers as it is. And they're going to be good neighbors. Respect the dignity of every human being, provided they agree with them. You see, in the end, we have a choice. Which one are we? And I think James Merritt, in his analysis of this wonderful allegory, puts it this way. He sees Jesus in this allegory saying, I'm not asking if you've ever walked into a church. I'm not asking if you've ever joined a church. I'm not asking if you believe in the second coming of Jesus. I'm not asking if you've ever been baptized. I'm only asking one question. Are you prepared to meet Jesus? Are you? Am I? And the only way to be prepared is to understand we know not the time, we know not the date our mortal souls will expire. Now those prepared will not worry, for they will do nothing different today or tomorrow. They're prepared. Sadly, the unprepared will do likewise. They will not worry about today or tomorrow, for they would do nothing different. And here's the difference. One group will be invited to the banquet. The other will be left at the door. So, is this just an allegory?